down here. Lord, we sure do love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I grew up in Irondequoit. That's, if you don't know, on the east side of town. That's when I got married and moved out to Brockport. But grew up in Irondequoit. We had a house, and in the backyard we had a pool. And that pool, it was the weirdest pool I've ever seen. It looked like a figure eight. So it had, you know how most pools are round? Well, ours was like someone pinched it in the middle. So it went like this and then like this. Say why? I don't know why, but we had that. We had a deck out back, and I remember the one day I was walking around from the house out to the back deck, and by accident, stepped on a bee. As a little boy, a younger boy, I don't know how old I was, maybe 7 or 8 or so, and stepped on that bee, and I got stung on the bottom of my foot, but in the arch. You know what I'm talking about? Literally, my mom had to pin me down to get that stinger out. Very painful. Have you ever had a thorn in the flesh? Usually has to do with something that is painful. Joshua chapter number 23. We're just going to look at a couple verses. Then we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at this, Joshua chapter number 3. Just want to show you, thorns aren't meant to be comfortable. Thorns aren't meant to be comfortable. Joshua chapter number 23 and verse 11, it says this, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." Good warning to us, good encouragement. And verse 12, "Else if ye do in any wise..." See, this is Joshua talking to the nation of Israel. Joshua's in his last days, and he's by the next chapter will have passed. But he's giving some advice, and he's talking to the nation of Israel. He says, "Hey, listen to me. It's really good idea if you love the Lord your God." Didn't that solve a lot of problems? When I love God how I should, you know what I don't love as I, well, myself as much. When we have a right love for God, we'll have a right love for others. "Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations..." Joshua can't even fathom the thought, but he says, if perchance the thing that we've been led out of, that God has delivered us from, if for some reason you return to those things, "even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you." Look what it says. "And scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes." Ouch! I've had some injuries before. Thankfully, I don't think I've broken a bone. Not that I ever had a cast for. But I told you how I stepped on that bee, and that thing stung me in the middle of my foot. That hurt. I still remember. It's been a long time. But I remember I was working for a chimney company, and I was doing some work, and sometimes we had a drill into metal, brother, over our head, and that's fun. So you know like a fireplace. You've seen a fireplace before. That's where my legs would be. So you would see me. You would see my legs standing in the fireplace, and I would be up in there securing a chimney liner or a liner to the inside masonry, and you got to drill through the metal to make a hole to be able to drill into that. So I'm drilling in the metal, and a piece of the metal stainless steel came and hit me right in the corner of the eye. I had to go to the eye doctor, and they had to freeze my eye with, like, they told me it was like liquid cocaine, and then they had to pull the thing out. I heard it. It sounded like they put like a nail in a metal pan when it took it out. It was like clank, clank, clank. Not that big, but it felt like that big. And I read this, and he's like, "Hey, don't turn back. Why? It'll be like thorns in your eyes." There's a lot of things I could deal with. Thorns in the eyes, I don't want. That doesn't sound good. It sounds tormenting. Matthew chapter number 27, we'll look at another thorn. Matthew chapter number 27. How do you like Burger King? Any Burger King fans? All right. Thank you, Sam. I see that hand. Good. Anybody ever been to Burger King? Good. Okay. And you choose not to raise your... That's fine. That's fine. Welcome to America. You can go eat wherever you want. Flame kiss, though. You know what I'm saying? And they get you. They give you these little crowns. Make you feel special. Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. And when they had planted a... They take the Lord Jesus Christ and they planted a crown of thorns. Say, how do you think that felt? I'll give you a word. Painful. How do you think the thorn... Why was Joshua warning the nation of Israel, hey, don't go back to what we came out of? He said it'll be like thorns in your eyes. What does that mean? That means that's something you do not want. That sounds painful. When I read about the crown of thorns that they put around, upon the head of Christ, and they put it upon his head, they didn't just put it upon his head, they then used a reed, a stick, and hit it on top of his head. So painful. It wasn't like getting it. I ever get it like at Christmas time, and the older you get, the more you appreciate this. You get a good new pair of socks. You put that on, it's like, whoa, walking on clouds, right? Get a new pair of sneakers, it's like, oh, I might even run in these. These are nice. So comfortable. No one that is afflicted with any sort of thorn says, oh, this is nice. This is comfortable. I like this. No, thorns are painful. If you have Miss Kelly, you have rose bushes. Do they have thorns on them? Yeah. You got to be careful. Why? Because they hurt. They hurt. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Starting in verse 5. 2 Corinthians 12, 5. One of the best messages I've ever heard preached out of this passage was by our very own Matthew Seatman. I can't read this passage without thinking about him. You keep him in prayer. He was in and out of the hospital again. And he's home now and just recovering. But he was last time I talked to him. But he's back on steroids again. And you just pray for him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 5. Of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmity. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 5. In verse 6 it says this. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Hey, Paul had quite the testimony, don't you think? Every couple years or so, we have Brother Spurgeon. He had canceled this past year because of a surgery, and he should be with us next year. Brother Spurgeon's got quite the testimony. I like hearing his story. I like hearing about where he came from and what God has done with him. Hey, you can't help but think that people ask, hey, Paul, can you tell us your story? Can you tell us your testimony? His name preceded him, he says in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a... Look at this next phrase. Thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We read this passage and it almost just kind of blows our mind. Like, Paul, what are you even talking about? Well, Paul had a thorn. We don't know exactly what it is that afflicted his flesh. And I think that's on purpose to not say one circumstance is worse than another or one circumstance. Well, if you had what it is that Paul had, or I have what Paul has, or I've been diagnosed with this, therefore my thorn is worse than your thorn, and I get pity or I get bad. And it's specific in not naming it. Oh, there's been speculation. Maybe it was an eye problem. The eye problem that scholars speculate would not only be difficult for Paul to deal with, it would be painful and difficult to read, but at the same time, it was weird looking and disfiguring. If you read the previous passage, chapter 11, he went through some things. It says this in chapter 11 and verse 24. Any of these could have caused long-term damage to the body. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I bet there was some tendon damage or muscle damage in there. What does it say? 5 times he was whipped 39 times. I don't want to feel that once. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. You look at that and go, yeah, I bet he walked with a limp or something. I bet he had some physical problems. And all of those problems are a result of him preaching the gospel. Paul had a thorn. He had a thorn in the flesh. Again, it could have disfigured him. There's a long list of potential problems here. Could have been an eye problem, but again, the thorn was not name specific. Why is that? That we all may identify in this passage. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you can look back. Maybe you're going through something right now. And say, hey, let us remember, thorns are painful. And maybe you're going through something right now and you would say, wow, this really hurts. This is painful. This is difficult. God, will you take this away? See, why would God allow a thorn? Hey, you pray for little Miss Autumn. She's going through round number 3 of cancer. She's already lost a leg. She's 11, 12. You look at that and go, God, I don't understand. You're right. You won't understand those things. God's ways are different than our ways. And he allows those things to happen. Why does he allow? And you may be looking at your own life. And you look at that and go, well, I guess it's not that bad. I don't have that. Yeah, but you're also experiencing some sort of hurt. Maybe you have. Maybe in the past. Anybody have a scar? Sure. A scar from some pain. A scar from some hurt. We were doing some running some power to our well. The well guy did this. He said this. He says, I know you're on a tight budget. Isn't that a blessing when a contractor says that? He says, I know you're on a tight budget. And he says, if you want to run the power line, it'll just make my job easier, and then I don't have to charge you to do that. I said, I can do that. He goes, I'll put the well in, or put the pump in, but you do that, and that'll save you some money. Man, I so appreciate that. So there I am, Jacob, and I'm out there, and I'm doing stuff, and I'm doing what I should not do. Say, what is that? Cutting towards myself with a razor knife. And sure enough, that thing just went right into my hand. Shoom. Whole blade. Say, how'd you do? I about passed out. I think I almost threw up. Did I throw up? I don't know. Something like that. And it was all blurry. I was losing lots of blood. Not really, but that's fine. I have the scar still to prove it from pain. Maybe there's a scar in your life. Maybe there's something that happened in the past where you're still hurt by that. I think we would not be human if we look at this and go, yeah, I don't understand what you're even talking about. We all have experienced a thorn. a torment, a problem, something painful. And we ask the question, God, what is the purpose of this? Well, we have a number of reasons, starting in verse 6. Though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Paul says, hey, let's just keep this thing real. I'm just like you. What do thorns do? It just keeps things real. It just reminds us of our human nature, our mortality. It prevents us and protects us from getting out of control. Imagine if you had no limits. What could you do? Imagine if there was nothing that could stop you or nothing. Paul has this thing and he goes, well, I just want to remind us that we're all in the same boat together. It prevents Paul from saying, look at all the great things I've done. Aren't I pretty great? Have you heard the things that I've said? Aren't I pretty smart? Hey, everybody, look at how wonderful I am. No, it just kept it real. I'm sure that there were people of that day that would have had a tendency to worship Paul. Number one, the thorn keeps us on the same level as everybody else. What does that mean? We're all going through something. We've all experienced some hurt. We've all experienced some difficulty in our life. That's what makes us human. It's part of life. It's not that God despises you or hates you or something like that. Abby, who was it on the way home from camp? What girl's car started on fire? Rachel Senegal, a girl from over at Heritage. Literally a flame. It's nothing but a shell. Everybody's okay. All is out, right? And you look at that and go, well, that means God doesn't know. It just reminds us that it just helps us keep it real. It helps us not get out of control. It limits us. Again, imagine if we had no limits. Paul had to keep himself in check, and the thorn helped that. At the end of the message, here's the concluding thought. Say, how many points is it going to take you to get there? I'll let you know. But here's the concluding thought. The thorn is much more valuable than without it. I know it's hurtful and painful, but at the end, it's better to have it than not. Let's keep that in mind. It keeps things real. Number two, in verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Not only did it keep things real, it kept Paul humble. Kept him from boasting. Paul knew that he was something special from the Lord. Look at Galatians chapter number 1. Brother Rice and I were talking this morning before service. He was reading these verses to me. I didn't want to be like, hey, you're treading on my message. Galatians 1:11, it says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Hey, those are pretty lofty words. The things I'm telling you are from God himself. "For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Not a lot of people can say those things. What do we do? What have we been doing since around 60 AD? We've been taking the teachings of Christ and of Paul and just proclaiming them over and over and over again. There's no new revelation. At the end of your Bible, it has these two words, the end. That's it. That's it. There's no more. There's no Doctrine and Covenants. There's no Pearl of Great Price. There's no Book of Mormon. There's no additional things. This is it. This is the complete Word of God. But as Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is speaking these things for the first time, I was with Hudson. We were driving down to camp, and he was getting ready for the Bible quizzing. And I said, "Son, why don't you read Romans chapter 3 out loud?" He's like, "All right." So he starts reading it, and I said, "You know what that means?" He's like, "I have no idea." I said, "Okay, let me explain that passage to you. Imagine writing the words of Romans. It's taken me a number of years to just understand it." Paul could say, "Hey, God, through me, has revealed some things. That time is done. You understand that?" But it'd be easy to boast about that, wouldn't it? So God says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this little bit of thorn and just kind of stick it in you." Say, why would he do that? To keep us humble. Because it'd be better to be in a little bit of discomfort. It'd be better to experience a little bit of hurt than to be destroyed by pride. That's why he had the thorn. In Daniel chapter number 5, it tells us that he took the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar because of his pride. Paul knows the power of pride and how it destroys ministries. So what is the Lord using in your life to prevent pride? Say, that thing there, like God is allowing that? It's possible. It's possible that he placed a thorn in your life to keep you humble. Because it'd be better to be humble than proud. It better be a little uncomfortable with a little bit of hurt and a little bit of, and stay humble than to go day after day and with a proud heart. Number one, it keeps things real. Number two, it kept a humble spirit. Number three, look at verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." Thrice is an old way of saying three times. Thrice. Paul asked God. He says, "God, will you take this thing away?" Isn't that our natural tendency? "Hey, this thing is making me uncomfortable. Will you please remove it? God," if anybody could get the ear of God, it would be Paul. "God, would you please remove this? I don't like it." How many of you have ever said that before? Sure. And the Lord says, "No, Paul, we're just going to leave that there." Do you see what thorns do? It brings us to the Lord, doesn't it? A thorn will make us rely on God. It'll make us pray more. Thorns push us to our knees. Our prayer life should be increasing. It will keep you seeking the Lord, or maybe even begin seeking the Lord. How many times have people said, "I don't need the Lord," and then all of a sudden, tragedy strikes? Oh, you remember? Wow, I can't believe how long ago it was. 22 years ago, 2 planes fly into the towers. All of a sudden, the church houses are packed praying. What happened? Difficulty brings us to our knees. So it happens personally in our own lives. As a nation, we experience that together. But we know. I don't know if anybody else knew about Paul's thorn. Maybe it was something just between him and God. Every single day he had to ask himself, "Do I want to get up today and deal with this?" Maybe you've been there. Just be better if I just give up on the day. No. No. But I think it'd be a good idea to beseech the Lord. Thorns increase our prayer life. I've been using this phrase quite a bit. Circumstances in our life will either do one of two things. It'll make you better or bitter. Oftentimes a thorn is placed in our life or in our flesh, causing a little bit of pain, and we begin to blame God rather than thank him. number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 9. Kind of like last week, as we are on the path of kindness, there's certain things that we will see only on that path. There are certain truths that you will learn when the thorn is in your life. And verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Paul wrote those words, a personal thought from God. With a thorn in our life, we learn important truths about the Lord that we would not learn otherwise. And you know what? We've been comforted by these words for the last 2,000 years. Hey, when that thorn of life is there, we don't know if it ever goes away. We don't know how long it was there. We don't know how painful it was. We don't know all the details, but we do know it hurt him. Might have been a person. Might have been an illness. Might have been we don't know. But in your life, maybe there's something in your life that is hurtful and painful. Have you been pushed to your knees? Have you learned an important truth about the Lord? Paul says this, you know what? I've had and I've experienced this hurt, but I can testify this way. God's grace is sufficient. He didn't take it away. He just helped me get through. These principles are so contrary to our human nature that they almost seem wrong. How am I stronger in weakness? Because of God's grace. Wouldn't you love to sit down and listen to Paul talk about God's grace? We can a little bit, Ephesians chapter number 3. Paul, what'd you learn? What'd you learn from the thorn that his grace is sufficient? Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 2. If you have heard of, well, how about verse 1? For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. That is both spiritually speaking and physically speaking. He literally found himself in prison. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, hereby, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, a verse that we've used a couple weeks ago. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wouldn't you love to just sit down and talk with Paul and say, Paul, explain to me the unsearchable riches of Christ. Explain to me how he has helped you through these great difficulties. Again, beaten, perils, cold, naked. What happened? It just pushed him to the Lord, and he learned important truths about the Lord. That the power of God would come through. Outside on our sign, I believe it's still out there, John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. That's what thorns help us with. It helps making God bigger. It makes us smaller. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning. One of the great false teachings of this day is humanism. Say, what is that? That's that man is the end-all, be-all to all things. Shows up in a lot of different ways. But it puts man in the place where God is. You know what helps with that? A thorn. It reminds us of who we are. And it helps us learn important truths about the Lord. Until you need the Lord for strength, is He your strength? Until you need the Lord to provide, is He your provider? Until you need the Lord as a comforter, is He your comforter? Well, those things are only had by difficulty and hurt. Paul concludes this thought. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I hate being sick. I hate being uncomfortable. In this room, I don't know. Is it warm or cold in here? How many of you are warm? Anybody warm? Thank you. My two sons. Yeah. Appreciate that. You try and make it comfortable. Is it cold in here? Good. Okay, good. Keeps everyone. If it gets warm, you fall asleep. So we keep it a little chilly. We'll turn it up next week. Special message on hell next week. So we're going to turn that up to... We like to be comfortable. The minute we get in the car, we turn on the AC. The minute we go in here, we have mattresses, we have mattress pads to make it even. I want to sleep on a cloud. I'll spend $50 on a good pillow. I want a good blanket, comfortable shoes. We want comfort. And Paul says this, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. He says this, in necessities. It is good for me to have needs. Why is that, Paul? Because that thorn makes me go to God. Because otherwise, Paul says, I'd be too proud. I'd think it would be all about me. The thorn has pushed me to my knees. The thorn has taught me about God's grace. And he says, that is far more valuable than the pain and discomfort of the infirmities, the reproaches, and the necessities, and the persecutions, and the distresses. Hey, if just one of these things shows up in our life, we're undone. Paul seems to have them all at the same time. And he makes this concluding thought. If you're underlining in your Bible, underline this. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Say, that doesn't make sense. How can I be both weak and strong at the same time? Because when our flesh is weak, that's when God gets the glory. That's when God can do things in our life. And Paul says, it is better that I suffer discomfort because only that way can the things of God be accomplished. Paul says that he would rather have the thorn in his flesh than the power of God removed from his life. Would that be a good trade for you? God, take away this thorn. I'll lose your power. I'll be glad to do it, but take away this thorn. Paul says, keep the thorn. Keep the hurt. Keep the necessity. Because God, you get glory. Would you give up on your comfort for the power of God? Amen. To what end? I ask you this morning, is there a thorn in your life? Yes, I've been trying to get this thing out. I've got when my mom tried to get that bee sting out of the arch of my foot, man, she came in with tools. I don't care, just get that thing out of there. It hurts so bad. Is there a thorn in your life? Can you see the benefit now? Paul says, I take pleasure. Can you thank God for it? God, without this thorn, I would have never have learned. I would have never have been pushed. I wouldn't have been as humble. Is it bringing to you bringing you to your knees? Are you getting better? Or are you getting bitter? I love that it's not mentioned what it is, because I think we can all see ourselves in this passage. Let's all stand this morning. The most important thing you can do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. We are all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, if you offend in one place, you're guilty of it all. So, well, I've never murdered anybody. Well, if you've told a lie, you're just as guilty of all of it. So what does that mean? That means you need a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. You can pay for them yourselves. It'll take all eternity. Or you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and He'll be your Savior forever. He'll take you and He'll place you right in His hand, and He'll hold you, and you'll be sealed until that day of redemption. You could never lose your salvation. And then you start on a journey, a life of faith. And on that path of faith, there are times in your life that there'll be thorns. Thorns that cause real hurt, real difficulty, real pain. And it's not necessarily because you did anything wrong. Oh, there's a consequence to sin for sure. But sometimes the Lord allows things in our life just to keep us humble, just to bring us to our knees, just to teach us an important truth about Him. Do you see the value of that? In a moment, the music will play, and I invite you to come forward and talk to the Lord. Say, God, I've been trying to get this thing out rather than accepting it. And I'm sorry. I am listening now. What is it that you would like to teach me? Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation. God, work in our midst. It is true that we all have hurts. We all have pain. But God, it brings us to you. Lord, I pray that those things would bring us to you here today. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Have you experienced, gone through? Maybe it's just to keep a humble spirit. Maybe the Lord is using that in your life just to prevent pride. Pride is destructive and dangerous. Maybe there's another truth that He wants you to learn. Can you say that His grace is sufficient for you? That your strength, that God's strength is made perfect in His weakness? That can you say, for when I am weak, then am I strong? Do you take pleasure in the infirmity? In the necessity, in the distress, for Christ's sake. Not your own foolishness, but for Christ's sake.